Okay, I'm going to read a passage from Scripture. So as Chris mentioned at the beginning of the service, it's the start of Advent, and that is a time when, yes, we think about preparing for Christmas, but it's also thinking about Jesus coming back into the world and his promise to do that. And I'm going to read a little bit from Mark chapter 13, if you want to follow along. Looking on, I'm reading from an NIV and starting at verse 24 of Mark chapter 13. But in those days, Jesus said, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Let's just pray for a moment. Father God, as we gather around your word, we pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to receive from you. Send your spirit, Lord, that you may change us, that you may change us. By your power of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if what you were doing on Friday. I don't know what involvement you had in Black Friday. Were you at Asda at 5 in the morning or whenever it was they opened? Were you part of the trolley brigade filling your trolleys with TVs? Have we got a picture there? I know these were just some of the couple of pictures I took off the web. The picture on the right, I think, is really significant. So as far as I could tell from what I saw on the website, there was two women fighting over a TV because it was cheap. And one woman has literally thrown herself on the TV or the box of the TV and holding tightly onto it as she's dragged across the floor by the other woman who wants the TV set. And unfortunately, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but maybe you'd agree with me. Is that not just an amazing picture of today's society, of our society today, of holding on tightly to the things of today and ignoring the things of tomorrow? Holding on tightly to the things of today and ignoring the things of tomorrow. How ready are we for Jesus' return? How much are we almost a bit like that picture, holding on tightly to the things of today and ignoring the things of tomorrow? And that Bible reading from Mark chapter 13 that Sammy read really opens that picture up to us, doesn't it? Jesus speaking to his disciples, coming, certainly in Mark's gospel, coming towards the final period of his life. And he says to them, in my words, watch, be ready. So much towards the end of that passage, Jesus says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Watch. Be on guard. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready for Jesus' return. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Keep watch. Jesus is coming again. It's quite simple, that, isn't it? Keep watch. Jesus is coming again. I became a Christian on youth camps or a youth camp in the summer, which I've been on pretty much every year since. My wife, Sammy, does as well. And for the last 14 years since we've been married, we've been going on the same camp. And it's been great. And that's where I became a Christian. And right from the start, I knew, I was taught Jesus would come again. And I'm sure if you've, especially with Dave's teaching here, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Jesus is coming again. But is it so straightforward that we get a bit complacent? Actually, is it so straightforward that we've become totally complacent? You know, before I finish speaking, and some of you may be praying hard that he does, that Jesus might come again. Before we get home tonight. I don't know how many of you as kids, maybe you prayed, Lord, come again before my homework has to be in tomorrow morning. Or maybe you still do with assignments from work. But seriously, are we complacent about such a thing? Jesus' language here is bathed in the Old Testament scriptures. The Son of Man, that theme or that figure from the book of Daniel chapter 7. Jesus doesn't say it here, but the whole of Mark's gospel is evidence for the fact that Jesus is this Son of Man, this one who will come again, this God's Son coming, will come again. Are we complacent about that? Now, the Church of England, I don't know what you think of the Church of England. That's part of, is what Sammy and I are part of. And when we move into a new diocese, you go away for a day to learn all about the Church of England in that diocese, and we did that last Tuesday in Oxford. We're part of the Oxford Diocese, and we met all sorts of people involved in the running of the diocese and the supporting of the churches within the diocese. And it was a good day. It was a good day. Sometimes the Church of England can be really poor, really bad. But just at the moment. And I say this truly, just at the moment, is getting better. Justin Welby is a top man. And there's some great stuff going on. Some really good bishops are being appointed to senior positions. And God is really moving within the Church of England. He really is. And it's fantastic and really exciting. And it's because I think we've been complacent for too long and we've suddenly realised actually how complacent we've been and things are changing. And then this day on Tuesday that Sammy and I went to, the diocesan secretary, right at the beginning of the day, said, your job is to shake people out of their complacency. Because in the Church of England, we've become very complacent. And your job is to shake people out of it. And that was great to hear from one of the guys, the people right in the middle of the diocese, saying, guys, we can't go on like this. It just won't work. We have to shake each other out of our complacency. It's why, as we mentioned in our interview earlier, that's why part of the reason we've come here, because God has really called us to take some risks. And in this job that we're doing, it's a great step of faith for us. And we pray that God, we know that God will do something. But guys, let me just be a little bit straighter then. Are you complacent? Are you complacent as a church? I mean, maybe that's one for your church leaders and for you to feed into them. Where are you being complacent in your lives? Are we being complacent together about the return of Jesus? Do we really, really believe it's going to happen and it could happen any moment now? Watch, be ready for Jesus' return. And watch, and I'm sort of gone over it already, but watch, be ready for Jesus' return at any time. He says in verse 32, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For those of you who have got the text in front of you, you may be wondering about the verse before, verse 30, where he says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So where's that? Is there a slight contradiction there? I tell you the truth, nothing will pass away before this generation. But then he also says, no one knows the day or the hour. What it means, Jesus, there in Mark's gospel, there's been a sort of coming together of Jesus' prophecy about Jerusalem, and the generation won't pass away until Jerusalem is destroyed, and all those things happen that he's talked about just at the beginning of chapter 13 about Jerusalem. And then he moves on to talk about his return that he started to talk about in the middle of the chapter. No one knows that day when he will return. So Jesus, watch, be ready for Jesus' return. Avoid complacency. Watch, be ready for Jesus' return at any time. Live like it's your last day. Live like it's your last day. When I was at university, I met some brilliant people, and I met some quite strange people as well. One of the guy, a friend of a friend that I met, his house allegedly, I didn't see it myself, but his house allegedly had stickers on various things around the house. Little stickers with, like that up there, mine's the exclamation mark, but his was the STB on different things around his house. And he'd done that because it was to remind him that the things he'd put these stickers on were soon to burn. Soon to burn. He took this really seriously, this fact that Jesus was returning. And actually, what really matters? If Jesus is going to return, what really matters? Because actually, the TVs and the computers and the tablets of Black Friday really don't matter. Really don't matter at all, because they'll be soon to burn. William Barclay, the theologian, says of this passage, it gives us the great task in life of making every day fit for Jesus to see and being at any moment ready to meet him face to face. I'm not encouraging you to go and put soon to burn stickers on anything. Not literally, but at least metaphorically, maybe we need to think that one through a bit. Physical things, character things, relationships. Live like it's your last day. You know, what are the sort of things we're doing tomorrow that actually, if this really got into our hearts and minds that Jesus could come back at any time, we wouldn't do. We wouldn't buy. We wouldn't care about. Because they'd be soon to burn. If we knew we were going to meet him face to face, what would we do tomorrow? Watch, be ready for Jesus' return, so avoid complacency. Watch, be ready for Jesus' return at any time, so live like it's your last day. And watch and be ready for suffering. It wasn't actually part of the reading we had, but just slightly earlier in chapter 13, Jesus talks about that. He says to his disciples, watch from verse 5, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places, famines. These are the beginnings of your birth pains, of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you'll stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a send-off for his disciples. What a encouraging speech for his disciples. Guys, watch out for the councils and the whipping and the beating and the hey, it's going to be good. There is this sense throughout the New Testament of between Jesus' ascension and Jesus' return, there will be many good things, many, many good things of the Spirit breaking in and changing lives and transforming communities and societies and miracles happening and things, just the amazing resurrectional, transformational work. But you read it throughout the New Testament, from the moment Jesus said to his disciples, take up your cross and follow me, there will also be suffering. And we are to be ready for it. And we are to be ready for it. And if we're ready for it, then we can cope with it better. If we're ready for it, then we can cope with it better. Watch and be ready for Jesus' return, for his return at any time, and for the suffering that will come up until that time. Have you ever seen Heat, the film? Robert De Niro, Al Pacino? You don't need to have had to. But Robert De Niro is a robber, and Al Pacino is the cop trying to find him. And a theme throughout the film is Robert De Niro saying to his robber mates, "You must always be ready to leave everything behind and run when you feel the heat coming." See the film? You see the link? Anyway, always be ready to run when you feel the heat coming. In Indiana Jones, do you see that before they started making bad Indiana Jones films, did you see the third Indiana Jones film, the good one, where they're trying to find the cup of life and the Holy Grail? I don't know what it's called. But anyway, okay. But just the end, that one of the scene right near the end where the baddie woman Indiana Jones is trying to pull her out from the pit in which she's going to die, and the grail is just beyond her reach, below her, and she can't let it go and dies. Indiana Jones is suddenly in that position and his dad is holding on to him, and he can let it go and leave it all behind, and so survives. Can you leave it all behind? Because Jesus is coming back. I wonder if there's a very practical thing God is telling you today. As I've been preparing for this, and I preached it this morning at our church, just in the week running up. And it's perhaps, I think it's what God has, well, it is, sorry, it is what God's laid on my heart. It's quite obvious, I suppose, in some ways for the sort of area we live in Marlow, but maybe there is something very monetary that you need to give up. Something very physically monetary, if that's even a proper phrase. But you know what I mean, that you have to give up. That God is calling you to give up, to let go. Because it's seen to burn anyway, and it's pulling you back into this world rather than getting us ready for the next. Rather like that woman being dragged along on the TV. Is that a picture of us? Do we need to let it go? Maybe, as I've said, it's something in our character that we perhaps need to come and receive prayer for. There's prayer ministry at the end, isn't there? We can do that right now, tonight. Come and receive some prayer ministry for a character thing that we need to leave behind as we prepare for Jesus' return. Maybe with the complacency, we need to get out of it by taking some risks of faith. Maybe there's someone, when the guys earlier were doing the Alpha presentation, maybe there was someone that God has put on your heart to invite to that, and you're really not sure. There's a great clergyman in London called Rico Tice, who works at All Souls Langham Place, and he told a story of his life once where he was with some friends, he had some friends who are rugby playing friends, and he lent them a tape of a sermon, not his sermon, to listen to, and in it the preacher talked about that choice that we have to choose God or not, to choose to follow Jesus or not, and talked about the consequences of those choices. And one of the friends was absolutely horrified, not at the truth of the teaching, but at the fact, he said to his other mates, "Rico can't love me because he's never told me about this. He's never told me about this choice." Man, so many friends of mine, God, what would they say? But what about you? Do we need to be shaken out of that complacency? Do we need to invite someone to Alpha? Do we need to share our faith with someone tomorrow at work? What do we need to do to let go of the things of today and grasp the things of tomorrow? What do we need to do to be ready for Jesus' return?